So in the remaining chapters, he says he intends to discuss more fully the three forms of apologetics defined in the first chapter, which was proof, defense, and offense. So, you know, just general proof in here are kind of the facts of the case. Defense, which means, you know, you're helping the believers understand the faith and be preserved in it. And then offense is those that you take to unbelievers. He says in this chapter, in the next three, the subject will be proof or finding a rational basis for faith. But no, you just leap blindly in. It's what you want to believe. And faith has nothing to do with trust in something. It's just blind trust that you're able to put out there in the ether, and there's no tether to it whatsoever. Okay,
and that's clearly
might be the opposite of what he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly, not what he's talking about, right? And so in this section, faith, scripture, and evidence, he specifically says faith is not mere rational thought, right? But it's not irrational either, right? So it's more than. It's not mere rational, but it's not irrational. He says it's not belief in the absence of evidence, right? Sometimes we hear that, you know, faith is believing what you know ain't so, right? Kind of thing, right? Right. He says, no, it's not belief in the absence of evidence. Rather, and here it is here, it is a trust that rests on sufficient evidence. So notice it's a trust. So it's more than just kind of an intellectual, rational type of thing. It's a trust that rests on sufficient evidence, And so he's going to jump right into giving us an illustration of this.
Right.
With Abraham.
Yeah, with Abraham. So Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac in Genesis 22 is often presented both in the Old Testament and the New Testament and by apologists as an example of faith that contravenes a moral and rational norms.
It's irrational for Abraham to sacrifice his son. What's going on there, right? It's just kind of, okay, that might be faith, but it's kind of a leap of faith and just doing something that really doesn't even seem moral, right? Mm-hmm. Is what the claim oftentimes is here.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I thought God didn't want us to sacrifice, children to Molech.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Don't sacrifice your children to Molech. Absolutely. Please stop. But this analysis often fails to take into account the fact that Abraham had a very firm basis for doing what he did, namely the command of God. So, you know, it's not, I've got a feeling that if I do this, I'll show God faith. No, this is a direct command from the being that he knows is God. This isn't Satan. This isn't, his wife. This isn't a plurality of leaders in the community. This is a direct command from God. What God says can be neither irrational nor immoral, for his word defines rationality and morality for us. And so
this is a really, really important point, right? I mean, it's really key. What he's saying basically is, you know, as believers, as Christian believers, we hold that the word of God is indeed the word of God, and God, whose character is, you know, rational and logical, that's part of who he is, then what he says cannot be irrational and it cannot be immoral, right? If God's word says it, he, by virtue of who he is and his character, he is moral and he is rational.
Right. And again, he's not reaching out into the ether to pull these rules down. And he's not just saying, well, it's Tuesday, so, today murder is fine. What he's saying is from his being and from his person. It's derived out of him. And that's where we have to understand those things, unless if we fall into the false dilemma that is known. So
this kind of, you know, oftentimes the divine command theory is, and we've seen this before in other books that we've read, is kind of criticized because it makes God's commands with regard to morality arbitrary. And but if they're based on his character, on who he is, right, then it's not just any whimsical command that God makes. That becomes the right thing to do. No, his commands are based on who he is, his character. And he doesn't change. And so there's no arbitrariness there.
Right. Right. It, in one sense, he can tell us not to be jealous of, you know, somebody else's property, but he can say, you know, why are you going after other gods? I am a jealous god. Well, it's only wrong for you to be jealous because you're not owed that other property of your neighbors, but God is owed complete fealty to him because of who he is. And on the opposite end, the false gods are false. And so he is able to, you know, what we would say, and we looked at in Lyle's book, here's a contradiction. It says, you know, don't be jealous. Don't covet. But here God's coveting, you know, the response from the people. And it's like, but yes, that's true, because it holds true that he's able to command that based on who he is and from his character. All right. So here, the faith does not believe despite the absence of evidence. Rather, faith honors God's word as sufficient evidence. God said it. I should do it. And look at how Abraham thinks about those things. Well, I know the Messiah will come from my son. And therefore, if I do this, God will have to raise him up. And so he is rationalizing the statements made by God's earlier commands with God's current commands. So he still is going to carry this out. If not, he's not going to have a conversation. Oh, God, if I do this, then your previous command will ultimately fail. No, he trust that God knows what he's doing and has a purpose for this, and will complete it in the way he sees fit. He doesn't think God's going to stop him, before he plunges the dagger. But it's that mens rea that is in our criminal justice system. You have the mind of crime. You have the mind act in your mind, and then the actus reus is you carry it out. And so mm-hmm. God stops him before the actus reus. And so he says, you know, now I know there, you will carry out my command. The no there can we can discuss that further, but the trust in God's full revelation to Abraham at the time is what Abraham ultimately relies on, and it's what we should ultimately rely on, and we have way more than Abraham does.
Right. Yeah. And so notice the point he's trying to make here. So somebody might argue, well, Abraham, you know, just kind of believed arbitrarily, you know, just kind of a jump in the. He says, no. Abraham had evidence. What was the evidence? The evidence was God's word. That was the evidence, right? So God's word, the point he's trying to make here, is sufficient evidence. God, what God says, that's evidence, right? And so Abraham acted on the evidence of what God had said. And